America Akbar!
But our current best assessment, based on the information that we have at present, is that in fact what this began as was a spontaneous, not a premeditated, response to what had transpired in Cairo.
But the only edits made by anyone here at the White House were stylistic and non-substantive.
If people don't think that we did everything we can to make sure that we saved the lives of folks who I sent there and who were carrying out missions on behalf of the United States, then you don't know how our Defense Department thinks or our State Department thinks or our CIA thinks. Their number one priority is obviously to protect American lives. That's what our job is.
And the only edit made by the White House or the State Department to those talking points generated by the CIA was a change from referring to the facility that was attacked in Benghazi from consulate, because it was not a consulate, to diplomatic post. I think I had referred to it as diplomatic facility. I think it may have been to diplomatic post. But the point being, it was a matter of non-substantive factual correction.
Immediately upon finding out that our folks were in danger, that my orders to my national security team were, do whatever we need to do to make sure they're safe.
And we were prepared to respond to any contingency and certainly had forces in place to do that. But there's a basic principle here. The basic principle is that you don't deploy forces into harm's way without knowing what's going on, without having some real-time information.
The minute I found out what was going on, I gave three very clear directives. Number one, make sure that we are securing our personnel and doing whatever we need to. Number two, we're going to investigate exactly what happened to make sure it doesn't happen again. Number three, find out who did this so we can bring them to justice.
Again, with regards to these stories, to our knowledge, we're not aware of any agency that has blocked an employee who would like to appear before Congress.
But I'm not familiar with this notion that anybody's been blocked from testifying.
The fact is, we had four dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make?
But let's be clear. Benghazi happened a long time ago.
Death is a part of life.
Kill some Americans. Kill some Americans. Kill some Americans. Kill some Americans. Kill some Americans.
Speaking truth to power on the radio. A light of some soul to his fellow. America Akbar, fellow infidel.
Welcome, fellow infidels, to another exciting episode of America Akbar with Gadi Edelman, Rabbi Ariel Nachman, and Reese Cup. Yes, we are all here except for a bunch of people missing from the chat room, so I'm just going to wait until everybody shows up. No, I wouldn't do that. You know what, Rabbi, I got to say, before I even do introductions, every time I hear that intro, I just cannot handle Hillary's voice. That has got to be one of the most annoying voices. Kill some Americans!
Well, you know, just the whole statement that she's making, I mean, you know, number one, she does not have a pleasant voice to start with. Number two, the sentiment of what she is saying just makes it that much more offensive.
She does not have a pleasant voice. You are absolutely right. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to give her husband, former President Bill William Jefferson Clinton, a pass on the whole blue dress Monica Lewinsky thing, all because of Hillary. All right? I'm just going to, right here on the radio, give him a pass. But anyway, so without further ado, I'm not even going to read what Reese wrote underneath her name. Hello, Reese. Let me give a little introduction. Hi, Reese.
Hello, Reese, my God.
You remember that raise? Remember that raise I gave you last week? I'm taking it away because of what you just wrote.
Well, I don't like that you took my song away.
I didn't take your song away. You said it's been stuck in your head for 2 weeks. But on that, let me get
I want everybody else to suffer with me.
No, we're not going to suffer with you. Let me get the introductions out of the way because we have to introduce the Mighty Mouth.
Here I come to save the day. That means that Mighty Mouth is on the way. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right,
sea or on the land, he gets the situation well in hand.
On the sea and on the land, he gets the situation well in hand. Rabbi Ariel Nachman. How you doing, Rabbi?
I'm here.
I know you're here. We're glad you're
and
here.
And that's as far as I'm going to commit to.
Okay. You know, we have a new ad that I want to play for you, Rabbi. Tell me what you think of this. And if you don't like it, we won't incorporate it. But I think I kind of like it. I think you might like one specific line in here. So let me know what you think.
One Reform. One Orthodox Rabbi. Two Jews. Three opinions. One goal. To educate about the truth of Islam.
Two Jews.
Three opinions.
Doom and gloom.
That's only because you changed my ringtone, Rabbi.
I thought it was a compliment.
Well, I guess it is. You're not the first to come up with that music for me, but I don't know. It's kind of bizarre. It's weird.
And to answer Susan Connor's question, the Rav is doing much better.
Yes. We're glad to have you here tonight because we weren't sure that you were going to be around. So let me do this. If you'd like, it is up to you. You can explain what you mean by the Rav is doing much better. And if you don't want to, we'll go on from there, and I can just play the phone number.
The Rav is my father. My father was in the hospital earlier this week, and he was released yesterday. He is home and doing much better, and that's about all we need to say about it.
Okay, well, we're glad that he's doing better, and thoughts and prayers go out to him and your family, and hopefully it'll stay that way. And Eric in the chat room is asking, I knew somebody would, what is this two Jews, three opinions shtick? All right.
Did he put shtick?
No, I threw that in there for him because he'd know what the three opinions was is if he knew the word shtick. All
exactly.
Right, Eric. Yes, it is said that Jews are so opinionated that if you have two of them, you have three opinions. So that we'll just and in this show you can definitely hear how that happens. Without further ado, my mouth
on one hand.
And then on the
but then
hand,
again on the other hand.
And then on the other hand, yeah, go watch Fiddler on the Roof. Anyway, our phone number.
Area code 347-857-1380.
America Akbar. I don't know what happened to the audio. He used to sing that at the end of that. But anyway, 347-857-1380 is our phone number, or you can Skype in from the top right-hand corner by clicking the little Skype icon. It will only work if you have Skype, a microphone, and then please, people, push the number one on your dial pad. That's the top left-hand corner, and that will let us know that you would like to come on the air. Yes, we are very argumentative, Susan. Thank you for pointing that out. We didn't know that. Anyway, without further ado...
I can't dial that number without singing it.
Exactly. 347-857. Anyway, so without further ado, because we have got so much news to cover, I'm going to get right into it with our first update live from Israel, Compliments of Israel Today magazine. Here is Jonathan David.
Reporting from the Israel Today newsroom for American Akbar with Gadi Edelman. From Jerusalem, I'm Jonathan David.
Palestinian terrorists operating out of the Gaza Strip fired three Grad-type missiles at the southern Israel coastal town of Ashkelon on Wednesday morning. There were no reports of injuries. Israel responded by closing commercial crossings into Gaza, but had not, as of Thursday, launched any military reprisals. Four Israeli teenagers were arrested on Wednesday for allegedly praying atop Jerusalem's Temple Mount. For years, Israeli authorities have cowed to Muslim intimidation on the Temple Mount and upheld Muslim demands that Jews and Christians be prevented from making or performing any religious expressions at the holy site. Many Israelis are fed up with the situation, which amounts to religious discrimination and a lack of religious freedom. A star-studded list of international celebrities and political heavyweights followed up their attendance at Israeli President Shimon Peres's 90th birthday by taking part in the annual President's Conference in Jerusalem on Wednesday. Former U.S. President Bill Clinton was the day's most honored guest, receiving from Peres the President's Award, the highest honor that Israel can bestow on a foreigner. Clinton said that Israel had no choice but to make peace on Arab terms. He added, "I don't see an alternative to a Palestinian state." Former British Prime Minister Tony Blair reiterated that time is running out for Middle East peace. Israelis also got in on the action, with former Mossad chief Meir Dagan asking incredulously, "Should we wait for Hamas to take over the West Bank before signing a peace deal?" Here's your chance to stand with Israel today. We've recently started posting our daily news updates in audio-visual format on Israel Today's new YouTube channel, and we need your help promoting the effort. The more people who subscribe, the better our updates will rank, and the more people will find Israel Today and a Bible-based view of what is happening in the Middle East. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel at the Israel Today News. From Jerusalem, I'm Jonathan David. Stay informed. Pray informed. Check out IsraelToday.com.
Thank you, Jonathan David, live from Israel. And where do I begin? There was so much in that little 2.5 minute news clip. I've got to do this. Wait a minute. I've got to do this.
Time for a gaudy rant.
Oh yeah, it's time for a gaudy rant. Let's start with the first story there. Rabbi, do you remember what the first story Jonathan David spoke of was?
No, I'm still stuck on that Bill Clinton one.
The first thing was that Hamas launched rockets into Ashkelon yesterday. Now, where do I begin? What was supposed to happen after the so-called treaty, and this was not a peace treaty, this was just a treaty, a agreed-upon ceasefire between Hamas and Israel so that Israel would not go into the Gaza territory full force like they had been planning on doing. Yeah, there was going to be no more rockets. There was going to be no more terrorism. Nothing coming out of Gaza. No, what did Israel do? If you listen to that news broadcast, and I hope everyone did, he specifically stated Israel did not respond by doing anything other than closing the border with Gaza. I'm sorry, what did he say? Closing the border with Gaza. Wait a minute. Close the border with Gaza, wouldn't that mean that Israel has an open border again? For what? Trade?
Wait a minute. He said they closed the border to commercial traffic with Gaza.
Now, why does Israel have a border that has commercial traffic that goes to and from Gaza and Israel? Gee, let's start with the fact that we never freaking hear about this from any media outlet anywhere in the world. And why in the hell did we not hear about rocket fire landing in Israel? What again? Once again. I mean, this is just, this is why we needed a gaudy rant. I haven't even gotten to the four teenagers that were arrested on the Temple Mount. I know I'm going to end up playing the rabbi rant for that one. But this really pisses me off because it is constant. at least once a week, there's a different case of the Hamas terrorists shooting rockets into southern Israel, and it never makes the media, and Israel sits back and does absolutely nothing. And all this crap going on in Syria and all this crap going on in Egypt keeps everything else out of the news, and we never hear about it. But what's going on? They closed the commercial traffic. Really? So in order to close the commercial traffic, I don't know, which just seemed to me common sense, that means that normally there is commercial traffic. That's right. How does Gaza get their water? How do they get their electricity? How do they get a good percentage of their food? That's right. Israel allows it in. You know, that same country that supposedly is running an apartheid nation, that same country that has these poor Gazans all locked down and they're occupying the territory even though there's no Israelis there. Give me a freaking break. I'm sick and tired of this. And they continue to...
This is the Gaza prison camp, right?
Yeah, that's the one with the five-star hotels and the nightlife and the new brand new cars being smuggled in from Egypt via tunnels that are big enough to bring in cars. Have you seen those photographs, Rabbi?
Yes, I have.
They wonder how these brand new Lexus and brand new Mercedes end up in the Gaza Strip. They're bringing them in through tunnels. The poor, poor Gazans that have no money, but they can afford a Lexus. I can't afford a freaking Lexus. I'm driving a 2005 Camry, for God's sakes. I am sick and tired of hearing this crap about the poor Gazans. Ugh! Rabbi, would you like me to play your rabbi rant music for the... you can go off on the four teenagers that were arrested on top of the Temple Mount? Because Jonathan David made an excellent point about, you know, the unfairness of one religion over another. Talk about discrimination. Can I play your music?
Yeah,
Okay, here we go.
It's time for a rabbi rant.
And notice, Rabbi, just for you, I used the Minnie Mouse voice.
Yeah. Yeah, much appreciated.
Explain to everybody about the Temple Mount and what it is.
The Temple Mount is where the Holy Temple was built. That's the top of Mount Moriah. That was the threshing floor that King David bought, and we actually have title to. We actually own, of everybody in the Middle East, the only one that can show an actual title to those lands are the Jews. And
exactly.
That's where the Holy Temple was built. And after it was destroyed by Rome and the Ottomans came in there and they decided they wanted to lay claim to it, so they built that monstrosity out there called the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Dome of the Rock.
Yep.
Al-Aqsa is a fantasy, number one. It never was there. It was a place that Muhammad dreamed about, and they decided that they wanted to lay claim to Jerusalem, so they called it the Al-Aqsa Mosque. So,
now, in order to appease, and I'm just going to throw this out there before the rabbi explains it, in order to appease, and there's no other word, but appease the Muslims that live inside Israel, these are Israeli citizens for the most part, in order to appease them, they have actually made a law in Israel where if you are a Jew, or for that matter, if you are anything other than a Muslim, because I don't believe Christians are allowed up there either, you cannot go ascend to the Temple Mount because that's where the mosque is. Go ahead, Rabbi. You can continue from there.
Right. Now, it used to be no one could go up there. Only Muslims could go up there.
Right.
Until we took us out of there after the 67. Yeah. So at that point, somebody made the damn fool decision to return it to the Muslims under the condition that Jews and Christians would be allowed up on the mount. One of the and true to form, as with anything that you do with the Arabs, is that they lose and then they dictate terms, and we are stupid enough to sit there and negotiate with these idiots. Okay, so they said, so rather than just kicking their butts off of there and bringing bulldozers up and clearing them out, which they should have done, they decided to give it back to them. And
should have blown it up
agreement.
In 67 when they had the chance.
Exactly. So they decided, okay, we're going to turn it over, but you have to allow Jews and Christians to go up there. Well, they're allowed to go up there, but the Muslims came up with the condition that they can't pray. This is our holy mountain. This is where our temple stood for hundreds of years. And they're dictating to us what we can and can't do. Anybody who goes up on the Temple Mount, whether they're Jew or Christian, and I probably Buddhist, who knows? If you went up there and you prayed, then they would automatically go, they would absolutely freak out and start rioting. Now, you have to understand what goes on up there, okay? Until 67, that area where the mosque was overgrown. It was covered with weeds. There was hardly anybody went up there. The place was in deplorable shape, okay? Why does it look so nice now? Because money comes in from Israel to make sure that it's kept up. Okay, so what else is going on up there? Well, let's see. Arab boys play soccer up there, and there's a basketball court up there. And so, you know, so much for being this great holy site for Islam. I mean, it's a damn playground for their kids. But a Jew or a Christian can't go up to the mount and actually pray. Heck, we can't even stand at the wall and pray, for crying out loud, without getting rocks showered down upon our heads. Now, what's going to happen with that? I'm going to tell you. That mount is going to be cleared. And it's going to be cleared by God himself. And it's going to leave no doubt in anybody's mind who did it.
From your mouth to his or her ears, being correct here, from your mouth to his ears, that because as Jews, when is the Messiah going to come, Rabbi?
Well, any moment.
That's not what I meant. I meant about the rebuilding of the temple. You knew what I meant.
Oh, well, we could get into the whole Moshiach ben Yosef and Moshiach ben David and Moshiach ben Moshe and all that other stuff. That's a whole show in and of itself. But yes, when the Messiah comes, it doesn't say that he will clear the mount. It says that he will rebuild the temple and reestablish the priesthood. Now,
My understanding was that the Messiah would not come until the temple was rebuilt. Am I misinterpreting that?
I believe you are. Well, there are several beliefs in that.
Okay, good.
Okay. It depends on how you interpret it. No, the one that I follow is that the Messiah will have the temple rebuilt after he is crowned.
Thanks, Rabbi.
Nasi.
Thanks, Rabbi.
Thank you, Rabbi.
It was such a damn fool move for us to give it up in the first place, because we knew what was going to happen.
But now you have, as Jonathan David alluded, I'm trying to eat Reese's Pieces while speaking. That's not a good idea. As Jonathan David said in his update, now you have Israelis who, quote unquote, are fed up with this law. And it's a law. It's not a rule. It's a law.
Yeah.
You have many, specifically teenagers or young men and women, mostly young men,
who will go up on top of the Temple Mount and begin to pray just to prove their point, and they end up getting...
It's becoming a daily occurrence there because people are so fed up with it.
As it should be.
And well, you also have this the Women of the Wall. Now, I don't agree with them. I don't agree with their agenda or what they're doing, okay? But Israel, wanting to be accommodating, was going to enlarge that section so that they could have an, what do you call it, egalitarian, you know, where men and women could be together and pray at the wall. And Abbas, again, Arabs got no claim on this, and they're dictating to us what we're going to do. They're saying, no, you can't do that. You can't expand that area. Jews have enough area.
Oh, Lord. Let us...
Israel and the United States, the only two countries in the world that will win a war and then go, what can we do for you?
Exactly. Oh, my gosh.
Anyway, let's move on.
Yes, let us. I'm trying to multitask again, and as usual, it doesn't always work out as well as I planned. So I'm doing two things at once here. Let me just type in and that. And this is where we need a... I need some music to put on a button where it's kind of like elevator music, so that when I'm doing things, you've got
like
this
the girl from Ipanema, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Well, while you're busy doing that, I'm good. I'm done.
Okay. I was looking for my from. I want to start because there's so much news to cover. I want to just.
Oh.
That's not me. That had to be Reese. All right, Reese. Anyway, I'm going to hit the news button.
It's now time for the national and international news here on America Akbar with Gadi Amos.
It's time for the national and international news right here on America Akbar with Gadi Edelman. Rabbi, I want to lead off with something that you found, and I'm going to let you introduce it the way you introduced it to me. So everyone hide your children. Everybody hide your children. Yes, Reese, I'm aware of what time it is. Thank you. This will be real quick. This is a very short story. Rabbi, you sent me a story, which I've got right here in my hot little hand, about the school board members in San Fernando Valley Elementary School in California. So I'm going to let you tell the audience, hide your children, everybody, exactly what you wrote to me when you sent me this article.
Okay.
What file
when I send articles to Gadi, I give them a heads up on what the article is. So today I send in the articles and I'm saying, okay, this is from this file, and I give it a name. So this comes from the "You have got to be shitting me" file.
Okay. So without further ado, let me play the audio before I read the story.
Chill.
All right. So for those that didn't catch that, one more time.
Chill.
Okay. So this is about Michelle. We all know who Michelle Obama is. Man, I swear, if the ATF and NSA don't come barging through my door in a second. All right. So, school board members have approved a plan to rename a San Fernando Valley Elementary School after First Lady Michelle Obama. Yes, you heard right, people. Los Angeles Unified Board members voted unanimously on Tuesday to name Valley Regional Elementary School number 13 after Mrs. Obama. Now, I'm not even going to make any Lucky 13 jokes there. The campus, which was opened last August to relieve overcrowding at nearby elementary schools, focuses on healthy eating for students, a cause that was championed by Michelle Obama's Let's Move campaign. So speaking of Let's Move.
Chill.
right. Yes, we have a school that is being named after the First Lady. Don't they usually wait until these people drop dead before they start naming schools after them?
Yeah,
I mean, isn't
typically,
that the way
it
used to be? It used to be that way, you know? You had to wait until your car hit. You know, before they start naming schools George H.W. Bush, they'll wait until he dies. I mean, it's just the way that things usually happen. But not when it comes to...
the first narcissist in charge?
Chill.
Obama. I should have thrown in her last name.
Michelle.
Anyway, so yes, we have Michelle now, and we're going to have a school named after her. OG. And where did you go to school? I went to Michelle Obama Elementary School. That's frightening to even say that sentence.
In 20 years, nobody will admit that they went to that school.
Let's hope so. Let's hope so.
Let's hope
so. I am being told, not asked, but I am being told by our producer to only do one story, and then we have to take a break. So, Miss Reese, given that we did the Michelle Obama story, what would you like to do for a break?
You know what? After that, I need a break. Oh, my God. Thank you very much for that. How about a little bit of Madison Rising to kind of... balance that one out.
Sorry, wait a minute. Did you see what Eric in the chat room just wrote? Makes
that
me
is not right.
Milk something. Okay, just for that, Eric.
Chill.
Anyway, Madison Rising, is that what you said, Reese? I'm sorry.
I need a little Madison Rising. How about you?
Rising sounds like a plan. Which song of theirs are we going to play?
You know what? I haven't played before the hyphens came in a while. And I was listening to it a couple of days ago, and I'm like, geez. You know, remember before the hyphens became so, well, important to, you know, as a status symbol? And I do. I remember how it just was like we were all the same. We were all normal people. We didn't have specialty things about us. So, you know what? Here we go. Madison Rising, before the hyphens came, you can find them over at madisonrising.com and enjoy.
TV on to wake up and clear my head. I catch the news in time to view another stirring of the pot. Talks of inequality and what people need, forgetting what they got. But in these times of opposition, the prejudice runs deep. Dividing up our heritage is all they ever preach. The jealous that they really care. It's just a game. We were all Americans before the hyphen came. People care about who you were and less about your name. We were all Americans before the hyphen came. Of our heritage and profit from the fear. But growing up a while back before the racial trends, where the immigrants, white or black, we just called each other friends. And if we spoke an extra language, it was just another way to pledge allegiance to the flag. God bless the USA. Jealous that they really care. To them it's just a game. We were all Americans before the hyphen came. People care about who you were and less about your name. We were all Americans before the hyphen came.
Welcome, fellow infidels. Gadi Edelman here with America Akbar Radio. If you're only listening to the radio show, you are only getting a small piece of what we do around here. You need to get over to GadiEdelman.com, GadiEdelman.com. There you can read my weekly articles that come out every Monday. You can check out my videos, and you can link up to a bunch of other great sites and really stay on top of things. So once again, for everybody here at America Akbar, keep on listening, and thanks for your support.
Hey everybody, this is Dave Ray of Madison Rising, and you're listening to America Akbar with Gadi Edelman and Reek on Blog Talk Radio.
Now, I know normally when we come back from break, we would have Sarit Haddad, which is one of my favorite Israeli Mizrahi singers. But in trying to get ready tonight, because I did have to go to work today, even though I wasn't there the whole day, it kind of delayed me a bit. I didn't have time to fix all my music. So Sarit, unfortunately, wasn't in the cards. But okay, we are back. Thanks, everybody, for hanging on through the break. And I just got to tell everybody, this is hysterical. Pardon me. I've got my normal bag of Reese's Pieces sitting here. And as I'm munching on them, I dropped one. And, of course, as everyone well knows, I have a dog named Bookie and a bear named Bear. So I now have on each leg, while I sit here, a dog looking up at me on my right and a dog looking up at me on my left, begging me for more Reese's. And it's the cutest thing when you give my dog Bear, who's a full-size black German Shepherd, a little teeny tiny Reese's Pieces, the way he takes it in his mouth and tries to hold it and chew it, it's something you got to see. Maybe I'll do a video.
Aww.
It's the cutest thing. But now my dogs are in love with Reese's Pieces, and they won't leave me alone. So I've got a dog on either side. I had to share that with everybody. I know it makes absolutely no sense, but too bad you had to hear it. So anyway,
it's your show. You can do whatever you want.
Exactly. It's my show. Now, I am going to say my father just sent me an email, and I'm going to interrupt this program for station identification. No. So I'm going to interrupt this program just to let everybody know, because this is like such an awesome email. I can't believe it. It was a picture of a guy who was told by his homeowners association that he could not fly the flag in his front yard. And we all know how that goes, you know, with these homeowners associations oftentimes, where they say, sorry, you know, rules, regulations, whatever, you can't have a flag in front of your house. So what this guy did was the next best thing. And what I'm going to ask everybody to do, because I'm uploading it now as we speak, as soon as I locate the photograph, oh, it's not coming up. I've got to save and copy the photograph, so I'm going to upload it to Facebook. So after the show, everybody go to my Facebook page. It's open whether or not you're a friend of mine. And look at how this guy took care of the issue with his homeowners association. My dad referred to this email as the best and biggest up yours. And it's hysterical what this guy did. So you'll have to look at that when I finally get the image to be saved. For some reason, it doesn't like the name of the image, I guess. But I'm going to save this and post it on Facebook, and everybody can go and see what I'm talking about, because this is really awesome, to say the least. I would not have thought of it, that's for sure. And if you use your imagination, you may be able to figure out what the guy did prior to going to looking at the photograph on Facebook. But anyway, getting back to the news, Rabbi, you also sent me an audio of a MP, which is a member of the parliament from Ireland, who did a speech in the Irish Parliament in reference to the Obamas who visited Ireland. And I have not heard all of it yet, but what I have heard has been rather hysterical. And even though this doesn't really fall under news, I guess it could fall under international news in that sense. I would like to play.
Well, it's actually associated with the G8 conference.
Yes.
Which was held in Ireland. And there's been a lot of controversy about all of the money that they had to spend for this when the economy is so bad.
Well, now, Claire Daly is obviously not a fan of the Obamas. And I've only
obviously.
Got the first, the first 3-plus minutes loaded here. And then when she gets interrupted is when I'm going to cut it, because the actual speech went on for 12 minutes. But as the rabbi pointed out to me, the first 3 is the best. I may have to adjust the volume once we get started, because I actually uploaded this while we were on the air, among my other multitasking talents. So here is Claire Daly, member of the parliament from Ireland.
This would come from the...
Thanks, Kim Corla. Taoiseach, I think it's important to take this opportunity.
Okay, now I cut you off, Rabbi. I'm sorry. What were you about to say before we hit the button?
Oh, I was just going to say this comes from the O Snap file.
Yes, this was the O Snap file. That's right. Okay, so coming from the O Snap file, let me.
Thanks, Rabbi.
Okay, so coming from the O Snap file, here is Claire Daly in Ireland.
Thanks, Kim Corla. Taoiseach, I think it's important to take this opportunity to bring a bit of balance into the discussions around the visit of the US President and his wife, given the almost unprecedented slobbering over them that the nation has been exposed to over the last number of days. And it's really hard to know which is worse, whether it's the outpourings of the Obamas themselves, or the sycophantic fawning over them by sections of the media and the political establishment. We've had separate and special news bulletins by the state broadcaster to tell us what Michelle Obama and her daughters had for lunch in Dublin, but very little questioning of the fact that she was having lunch with Mr. Tax Exile himself. We had very little challenging of the fact that she's glad to be home. Home, a country that she's been in less than a week, and that her husband has very tenuous links in. And of course, the biggest irony of all, the protestations of Obama himself in his speech to the children in Northern Ireland about peace. When he said, those who choose a path of peace, I promise you that the United States of America will support you every step of the way. We will be the wind at your back. Now I ask you, is this person going for the Hypocrite of the Century Award? Because we have to call things by their right names. And the reality is that by any serious examination, this man is a war criminal. He has just announced his decision to supply arms to the Syrian opposition, including the jihadists, fueling the destabilization of that region and continuing to undermine secularism and knockback conditions for women. This is the man who is in essence stalling the Geneva peace talks by trying to broker enhanced leverage for the Syrian opposition by giving them arms, and to hell with the thousands more who lose their lives or the tens of thousands more who will be displaced as this war goes on. This is the man who has facilitated a 200% increase in the use of drones, which have killed thousands of people, including hundreds of children. And you, Taoiseach, you are the one who's turned a blind eye on these activities. You've talked about the G8 being an opportunity to showcase Ireland. But is it not a reality that you have showcased us as a nation of pimps, prostituting ourselves in return for a pat on the head? To be honest with you, we were really speculating this morning whether you were going to deck the cabinet out in leprechaun hats decorated with a bit of stars and stripes to really mark abject humiliation here. So my question to you, Taoiseach, is as follows. What steps are you going to take to follow in the correct statements and the correct decision of your colleague Taoiseach Eamon Gilmore, who voted against the lifting of the arms embargo in relation to Syria? What steps are you going to take to ensure that no weapons for Syria are going to go through Shannon in breach of our international laws on neutrality? What steps are you going to take to showcase this country, not as a lapdog of US imperialism, but as an independent nation with an independent foreign policy which takes a lead in international diplomacy to outlaw the use of drones, the favourite method of extermination of your friend, Mr. Obama.
Go on, Letitia. Quiet, please. Well, let me confirm to you, first of all, that the President was not inquiring about your whereabouts or your well-being. I think your comments are disgraceful. I think they do down the pride of Irish people all over the world, who are more...
And that's pretty much where it ends. And if you don't understand the brogue accent there, the Irish accent, I apologize. But, man, did she... Oh, snap. Yeah, definitely. That's an oh, snap moment there, Rabbi.
Yeah, she is definitely not a fan.
I don't know who it was that she was talking to, another member of their parliament that she was talking about, and two who tried to interrupt, and they rang that bell to shut him up, and she continued. But yeah, that was although I don't agree with everything she said, it was pretty much right on the money.
Yeah, I'm I don't agree with everything that she says either, and you know, her politics are not, you know, my politics, but you know, that was a statement that just could not be ignored.
No, it could not be.
The Irish people are so ticked right now, you know, especially after Obama come out and it was talking about the Protestant and the Catholic schools.
Mm-hmm.
Saying that I completely lost the word now. They were an impediment to peace.
Yes. Yes. For those that didn't hear, and I was going to upload that and didn't have time, the comment that Obama made, was that today or yesterday?
I believe it was yesterday.
He made a comment during a speech. It wasn't even a comment. He was making a whole point about, you know, the Catholic schools and the Protestant schools and how we all have to live together and we have to think about each other and we can't have this division. Now he's referring. Explain to me how a man that was raised in a madrasa, okay, this man was raised in a madrasa. Doesn't matter where he was born, doesn't matter if he's American or not, he admittedly has been to a Muslim school. He was raised in a madrasa, is going to talk about the division between Catholic schools and Protestant schools and what that does to our children and our communities. Wrong with that statement.
The people, well, you know... Ireland is Ireland, you know, and you don't talk about things like that there. Yeah, I mean, his statement was, and this was part of the G8 conference. You know, this wasn't just his opinion that he stated off on the side in some conversation or something. This is a statement that he made to 2,000 young people at the G8 summit.
But let's look at this a little bit deeper. During that speech, and I heard it, he did not specify that he was referring to just Ireland. He spoke as if he was referring to everywhere, including the United States. But, I mean, does somebody need to teach Obama a little bit of history lesson about the IRA and the Protestants and the Catholics? I mean, does he have any idea what he was talking about in that specific location?
Well, the big thing is that where did you have to hear about it? I didn't hear about it in the American media. I heard about it from the Israeli media.
Yeah, the first place I saw it was in an Israeli paper, and then I have to admit, Sean Hannity today on his radio program did mention it and play it. So the only one in the American media that seems so far that I've heard, and I think Rush may have touched on it, Rush Limbaugh, but it's going to be your conservative right-wing radio shows and the Israeli media or the foreign media. The Americans aren't going to say boo-hoo about it. The man was talking about how it's wrong to put your kid in a private school of your choosing because of what it teaches them and its divisiveness. It's going to divide the community. It's going to divide our children. Does he have any idea what they teach in religious school? about loving your fellow man? No, he has no clue because he went to a madrasa. Oh, my God.
Well,
that could be another rant.
Actually, when he was in Indonesia, when he was Barry Sataro or whatever the heck his name was at that point, he actually went to a Catholic school there. He was listed as his faith as Muslim, but he did actually attend a Catholic school there.
For how long?
About a year, I believe.
And how many years did he go to a madrasa?
Oh,
8.
Probably still does.
He probably still does is right. I believe it was either 6 or 8. So, yeah. Anyway, getting back to our news, because we've got so much to cover. I know this one's going to get the blood boiling here, Rabbi. According to the UN, the Palestinian children are tortured and used as shields by Israel. Yes. Oh, where else but the UN? A United Nations rights body.
Another UN blood libel.
Yes. A United Nations human rights body accused Israeli forces today of mistreating Palestinian children, including by torturing those who were in custody and using others as human shields. Palestinian children in the Gaza and the West Bank that was captured by Israel in the 1967 war are routinely denied registration of their birth and access to health care, decent schools, clean water, all according to the UN Committee on the Rights of the Child. Well, let me cover this one by one, okay? First of all, the children that are born in the West Bank are not denied registration of the birth, and as a matter of fact, they have Israeli citizenship. That being said, let's talk about access to health care, because Israel, like most European countries, and they've had it since day one, has socialist medicine. They do have free health care. Yes, it works over there. Can I tell you why it works over there? Because they don't have 360 million people to deal with like they do here. Okay? It's a little bit different. They started it when the country started, which was only 65 years ago. Decent schools and clean water. The only reason Gaza has any water at all is because of Israel. The only reason that Gaza has any electricity is because of Israel. Not because of Egypt, not because of Jordan. No, it's because of Israel. As far as them, well, let me continue reading because I'm going to go off on a rant. I'm quoting them here. Quote, Palestinian children arrested by Israeli military and police are systematically subject to degrading treatment, often acts of torture, and are interrogated in Hebrew, a language they do not understand, and made to sign confessions in Hebrew in order to be released, end quote. That's according to a report from the Committee on the Rights of the Child. Well,
okay, now let's be clear.
Yeah, I need a
where
breath.
This yeah. report came from.
Mm-hmm.
A United Nations human rights body. Who is on the Human Rights Committee?
Who heads up the female Human Rights Committee?
Who? Iran, yeah.
Who's on that committee?
Some of the worst human rights offenders on the face of this earth are on the Human Rights Committee.
Exactly.
So you have to understand where this is coming from. It's coming from the Arab Old Boy Club is where it's coming from.
Well, let me just hit this point by point, okay? As far as degrading treatment, they get treated better in Israel than they do in any of their own homes and in any of their own so-called occupied territories, and certainly better than they would be treated if they were in any Islamic country where they'd be beheaded. And if you don't believe me, go look at what happened in Syria just yet again today with children being beheaded, yes, by the rebels that we are backing. But that's a whole other story. Hebrew, a language they do not understand. Can you repeat after me? Bullshit. Okay? Every Arab I ever met that lives in Israel speaks Hebrew just as well as the Israelis do. Okay? So these people, the reason they speak Hebrew is because they work inside Israel. They have more rights inside Israel. The women can vote. The women can drive. They become members of the Israeli parliament, the Knesset. Don't tell me that it's a language they do not understand. They don't run for office and argue in the Knesset if they don't speak Hebrew. This is bullshit. And I can guarantee you, having been there and dealt with this exact situation, that they are not tortured. Israel does not torture. But
well, they get every week a visit from the representative of the Red Crescent to make sure that nothing is happening to them, that they're being treated okay, and that nobody has said anything offensive to them.
Well, not only that do they get the Red Crescent, but they also have the Red Cross, the International Red Cross. They also have the human rights group, human rights, what the heck's it called? Amnesty International.
Oh,
and
yeah, yeah.
There's all these various groups that go in there, and believe me, you would have photographs and recordings of this stuff. Where is their proof? If this was going on, it would be 24/7 being played on every newscast out there. Anyway, the Israeli foreign minister said it had responded to a report by the UN Children's Agency, UNICEF, in March on the ill treatment of Palestinian minors and questioned whether or not the UN's committee's investigation had any new ground. Quote, if someone wants to magnify their political bias and political bashing of Israel, not based on a new report on work on the ground, but simply recycling old stuff, there is no importance on that. End quote. That's according to the spokesman, Yigal Palmar. Now, the report by the UN Committee on the Rights of the Child acknowledged Israel's national security concerns and noted that children on both sides of the conflict are continuing to be killed and wounded, but that more casualties are Palestinian. Most Palestinian children arrested are accused of having thrown stones, an offense which can carry a penalty of up to 20 years in prison, the committee said. Israeli soldiers had testified to the often arbitrary nature of the arrests. The watchdog's 18 independent experts examined Israel's record of compliance with a 1990 treaty as part of its regular review of a pact signed by all nations, except Somalia and the United States. An Israeli delegation attended the session. The UN committee regretted Israel's persistent refusal to respond to requests for information on children in the Palestinian territories and the Golan Heights since the last review in 2002. Quote, hundreds of Palestinian children have been killed and thousands injured over the reporting period as a result of the State Party military operations, especially in Gaza, where the State Party proceeded to conduct air and naval strikes on densely populated areas with a significant presence of children, thus disregarding the principles of proportionality and distinction, end quote. You know, I'm not even going to bother. Some of the things that they say here is such bullshit. Listen to this sentence. Many of the children are brought in leg chains and shackles before military courts. They're held in solitary confinement, sometimes for months. During the 10-year period, an estimated 7,000 Palestinian children aged 12 to 17, but some as young as 9, have been arrested, interrogated, and detained. This is all bullshit. There is nothing other than what is written on paper. There is no proof to any of these allegations. It is the same old crap, and anyone who listens to this show or anyone who bothers to do their homework knows how Israel does what they refer to as surgical strikes, and they don't kill children. They've oftentimes let very high-ranking Hamas terrorists, people behind bombings and suicide bombings and terrorist bombings in Israel, rocket fire into Israel that has killed women and children, they let them go because they don't want to take a chance of killing innocents when they might take them out.
Well, they're actually blaming Israel for every death that occurs. Now, if Hamas launches a rocket and it falls short, which it does many times, and it hits one of their villages, and it kills a bunch of children, who gets blamed for it? Israel.
Yes. And here's the kicker. Here's the kicker, people. In case you didn't catch it, I said UNICEF. I want you to remember, those of you with children who are in public schools, because my daughter's not allowed, those stupid little orange boxes that they give your kids before Halloween to go trick-or-treat for UNICEF, don't let your kids collect money, because that's the organization that money is going to. So you might as well just send them a check in the mail and say, let's just bash Israel some more with your bullshit. you know, if you want to do that, don't let your children use those stupid little UNICEF orange boxes. You heard it here first, folks. That's UNICEF. So I'm not even going to bother to read the rest of that story. It's just getting my blood boiling. Ugh.
Yeah, I think I would send it back filled with exactly what it's worth.
Well, I would need to use it as a piece of sanitary paper in order to send it back that way. But anyway, Benjamin Netanyahu stated that peace will depend on the Palestinians' ability to accept Israel. And I have a feeling that that Skype I just heard in my ear was Reese. Yes, Reese, as soon as I read this one story, we will take the 9 o'clock break. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu asserted today that the problem at the root of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and the issue that he believes is hindering peace is the Palestinians' inability to accept Israel's right to exist. Well, yeah, don't say.
Well, wait a minute. Didn't Bill Clinton just say that Israel had to negotiate?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure that I wasn't mishearing something.
No. That's
okay,
correct.
Because I thought it was, coming from Bill Clinton and stuff, I thought it was Israel's fault that this was, not happening.
Yeah, of course, because every time Israel tries to do what they want, which is land for peace, they get returned with more suicide bombings, more intifadas, more rocket fire. Yeah, it's always Israel's fault, because we all know that what they really want is land. Yeah, right. And, of course, listening to former President Clinton, who just spent some time in Israel. Yeah, we'll get to that. But anyway, speaking at the closing panel of the President's Conference in Jerusalem, the Prime Minister repeated calls to the Palestinian Authority to return to the negotiating table without preconditions. Quote, Benjamin Netanyahu said, "The only way to end the negotiations for peace is to begin them," Netanyahu said. "We're ready to negotiate peace without preconditions now. We're only 15 minutes away from Ramla. There's no reason on earth why we can't negotiate," end quote. Oh, pardon me. New statement. Quote, "This conflict predates 1967 by almost half a century. It predates the settlements." Explaining what he believes is the underlying problem, he said, "Why did this conflict rage from 1920 with the first Palestinian-Arab attacks on Jewish immigration offices in Jaffa? What was that all about?" Answering his own question, Netanyahu said, "Those attacks resulted from an opposition to a Jewish state in any boundaries, even before the formation of the state. Following the 1948 Declaration of Independence, there was an attempt to put out the life of the Jewish state in the War of Independence and all the wars that followed," end quote. The Prime Minister continued his history lesson, stating that even after Israel's unilateral evacuation of Gaza in 2005, rockets continued to rain down on Israel. Quote, "Why are they doing this? They say to vacate Palestine. Do they also mean Beersheba, Ashdod, Ashkelon, Jaffa? Ultimately, it's the willingness of the Palestinians to accept the right of the Jewish people to live in their ancient homeland. That will determine the success of peace talks," Netanyahu said, concluding that Israel reaching peace with all of its neighbors is the tomorrow that he wishes for. The Prime Minister also addressed another security threat facing Israel, the Iranian nuclear threat. He cautioned against newly elected Iranian President Hassan Rouhani, saying Rouhani will continue implementing the old doctrine of talk and enrich. Netanyahu said despite hopes at the election of moderate Rouhani and the will of the Iranian people for peace, the Iranian leadership will continue stalling for time while enriching uranium in pursuit of a nuclear bomb. Quote, "The right that Iran stresses it must have guarantee on its to develop nuclear weapons. This is what the regime is all about," he said. "We are seeing a change in style, but not in substance. The president-elect is the author of a doctrine that I call talk and enrich. He takes great pride in the fact that when he was Iran's nuclear negotiator, that's exactly what he did. And he criticized the past president for not using this tactic. This is a critical test, not what the Iranians say, but what they do. They have to abide by international demands, stop all enrichment, remove nuclear materials that they've already enriched, and shut down the illicit nuclear facilities." We cannot allow Iran to achieve nuclear weapons. When we come back from break, since the media is referring to the new Iranian president, Hassan Rouhani, as a moderate, I'm going to give you a little bit of breaking news about this man that just crossed the wire today from the Washington Free Beacon. And also it's been picked up by the Washington Post and all the other news outlets. So when we come back from break, I want to tell you about the Iranian president-elect Hassan Rouhani, the supposed moderate. But first, my producer slash co-host, who barely talks anymore, Reese, is telling me that we have got to take a break.
Yes, we do.
That's your
cue. You know what? Pardon?
I said that was your cue.
Well, there we go. Well, this time we're going to take a little break with Corey Shore. We all remember Corey. He was the young man we had on last year who had a great song, Remember Germany. But this one's a different one, and you'll like this one, I'm sure. It's called Tossing of the Coin, and you can find Corey Shore over at CoreyShore.com.
Life is a tossing of a coin. You walk across the boulevard, and suddenly you see a car come toward you. It's out of control. You try to dash across the street, but destiny is tied your feet. Is it over? Is it over for you? And just to think you had so much to do, of all the people on the street, why you? Do you believe?
Everybody, this is Dave Bray from Madison Rising. Help Madison Rising keep the banner flying high and show everyone
that you are one of the millions of hardworking people in this country that are still proud to be an American. Take the challenge at www.StarSpangledBannerChallenge.com. That's StarSpangledBannerChallenge.com.
It is Thursday between 8 p.m. and 10 p.m. Eastern Time. What are you doing? Well, if you're like me, George from the American View, then you're listening to Gotti Edelman of American Art Bar. You know Gotti, short guy, reflection on top, real smart man.
Thank you, everybody, for hanging on for the break. Excuse my chewing, but I'm having some more Reese's Pieces. And it has absolutely nothing to do with my co-host. And that includes the rabbi. Anyway, rabbi, we still have so much to cover. This is ridiculous. If people don't start to see a common denominator in all the news tonight that has come out over the last 24 hours, then they really need to just go back to sleep. But this came across the wire, Rabbi, just as we were coming on the air. The Iranian president-elect, Hassan Rouhani, is tied to the Jewish targeted bomb plot that killed 85 people. Were you aware of this?
No, I was not.
Yes, Hassan Rouhani, the president-elect of Iran, was part of a special government task force that plotted in 1994 to bomb a Jewish community center in Buenos Aires, a terrorist attack that ultimately left 85 dead and hundreds wounded. The Washington Free Beacon first reported the connection this evening. Argentine authorities say the Iranian government plotted the bombing while members of Hezbollah actually carried it out. Interpol still maintains a list of the most wanted Iranians believed to be tied to the attack, according to Ynet Israeli News. A former Iranian intelligence officer who defected in the 1990s said the attack was the brainchild of a special committee tied to the Supreme National Security Council. Mr. Rouhani served as the secretary of that council and as a member of the special committee during the formation of the bomb plot, according to Ynet News. At the same time, experts on the Iranian policy say it's not likely that Mr. Rouhani had the power to approve the attack, but yet still he knew of the plot, according to a senior fellow at the Foundation for Defense of Democracy in the Beacon report. As far as that bombing was concerned, there was no doubt that Mr. Rouhani was aware of it, and obviously his approval was not necessary. However, he's a subordinate, but he certainly would have been aware of all the discussions that led up to the attack. Present day, Mr. Rouhani has been seen as somewhat of a moderate and a reformer, Ynet News reported, but that characterization is deceptive, according to the report. There's nothing in his background that would suggest he has any moral qualms about bombing the enemies of the Islamic Republic. In all probability, we would have heard about it if Mr. Rouhani had risen up and said, "Don't do that attack. It's a disgrace." We would have known about it. Yeah, I think. Oh.
Yeah, I mean, that's, yeah, elections, right.
So when you hear that this guy, Rouhani, is a moderate and was the most moderate of all the candidates in Iran that ran for the president's spot for when the mighty midget Ahmadinejad steps down in August, one thing you need to remember, ultimately, there's one man that makes the decisions in that country, and that's the supreme leader, the Ayatollah Khomeini. And he, for those that are unaware of it, actually handpicks those that will run for president. Now, does anyone actually out there honestly think or believe that he would pick someone to run that was a moderate? Let's just use common sense, people. Anyway,
Obviously, moderate means something else in Arabic.
Well, moderate means that now he's coming forward and saying, you know, we're willing to sit down with the United States and talk.
Oh, and I know what it is. I know what it is.
And it's going to
they'll
be
blow
a rich
you
rich.
Up, and then they'll say they're sorry.
Yes. Well, okay. while we're sitting around playing the game of let's talk to each other and have this diplomatic conversation because there's no preconditions on the table, yes, while we're doing that, they'll be continuing to enrich their nuclear uranium and isotopes and everything else that they claim it's going to be. Anyway, a man, 20 years old, appeared in court accused of beheading an 18-year-old woman and then attacking five people while he was being treated in the hospital. Hat tip to Ann Vanderlees for sending me this little tidbit of news. A 20-year-old man has appeared in court charged with the murder of a young woman who was beheaded in a knife attack. Oh, you don't say. Aras Hussein appeared at the Sheffield Magistrates Court today, accused of murdering Rima Ramzan, 18 years old. Ms. Ramzan, who was from the Darnell area of Sheffield, this would be in the United Kingdom, died on June 4th following an incident, yes, they refer to it as an incident, at her home on Harry's Road in the city. Detectives said she suffered a severe knife attack, not only resulting in fatal injuries, but also resulting in the severing of her head. Yeah, I would call that an incident for sure. Hussein of Sheffield is also charged with assaulting five people at Sheffield's Northern General Hospital, where he was taken following his arrest by police. He stood in the glass-fronted dock today, flanked by two uniformed police officers, sporting a beard, short dark hair, a navy blue t-shirt, and spoke only to confirm his personal details and that he understood the charges. Hussein was remanded into custody following a 10-minute hearing and told he will appear again in Sheffield Crown Court today. Miss Ramzan's family issued a statement through the police today saying, following the death of Rima, a loving and caring daughter and sister, we as a family would like to pass on our heartfelt thanks to all the messages and support we have received from our extended family, friends, people in the community where we live, and especially from the staff and students at Sheffield College. Pardon me. These messages and support has given us strength and helped us try to deal with the nightmare we have found ourselves in. As a family, our thoughts now turn to being able to bury Rima and let her finally rest in peace. For those that did not see the story, once again, in all honesty, a beautiful young woman who was slaughtered and beheaded worse than an animal by another Muslim in some type of so-called honor killing. Pardon me. And Ghani needs a good stiff drink. That's what
yeah,
I need.
Don't we all? Don't we all?
Well, continuing the different wonderful news throughout the world this last 24-hour period, this actually took place on Sunday. Hat tip to Rabbi Ariel Nachman for sending me this little piece of such lovely news. A man drives his car into a Torah procession in London. A London man broke into a Hachasas. I'm not sure they wrote this right, Rabbi, because that is not any Hebrew I've heard. Hanasas Sefer Torah procession this past Sunday, driving his car into the Jewish gathering. The Sefer Torah was held on Sunday.
Hakafot.
Excuse me?
Hakafot.
Hakafot. Do you know how they spelled that here? H-A-C-H-N-A-S-A-S. Okay, whatever. yeah, the Sefer Torah was held on Sunday in Stamford Hill, London, into the Midrash of Venice, the Haredim news portal reported. When the procession arrived into the area of Stamford Avenue, loud sirens were heard and a car drove into the crowd. Quote, we were in the middle of dancing. The joy was great. There were hundreds of people, men, women, and many children. Suddenly, I hear a car honking behind me, followed by screaming, according to a bystander, Moshe Birenbaum. I turned around and I saw a car driven by a young Gentile bursting into the crowd, and the crowd fled to the sides in fear. A group of participants tried to stop him, but he attempted to run them over. The non-Jew then crossed the crowd and started screaming comments like, quote, "You Jews won't take over our neighborhood." We called the police, but the police arrived much later. Some roads were closed to traffic because of the Torah procession, and according to the news, police eventually did nab the perpetrator, who confessed, stating that Jews are taking over the neighborhood. Ah, yes, another lovely thing that we see across the pond in England. When are we going to learn, people? When are we going to learn? This is constant, constant.
It's on a rise that we have not seen in Europe since the 1920s.
Oh, my gosh. The things that are going on. I lost my last story there. The things that are going on throughout Europe and throughout the United Kingdom as a whole, specifically the United Kingdom, you know, I am constantly saying on this show that we need to look at Europe and England to see where we in the United States are going to be in very short order. You know, this is not...
Well,
just
now,
for people, this
now,
is
if,
not just to make headlines. This is not just to fill 2 hours of America Akbar. This is going on throughout the world, and as the rabbi said, it's not even on a rise. It is at a point already that rivals the early 1920s. And what came after the 1920s and 30s? Ah, that's right, the Holocaust. How silly of me to forget.
Well, that's the problem. The world has forgotten.
Yes,
it's been very convenient to actually shove it off to the side with, you know, I mean, you can't talk about it in Europe. You can't talk about the Holocaust in Europe because it offends the Muslims, because they say it didn't happen. So we don't do that. Now, the thing that really disturbs me about this story is that the one thing that we don't see in here is that term hate crime. Now, if this was a mosque or a group of Muslims, it would have been all over there. Hate crime, hate crime, hate crime, hate crime. But anytime we see a Jew attacked in Europe, especially in Europe, and many, many times here in the United States, because a lot of the attacks that happen in the United States never get reported in the media, you never hear the term hate crime.
No, and you usually won't. That's the problem. That is one of the big problems.
And don't think that it's not happening here on an increasing rate, because the reason that we don't hear about it is that it gets reported completely different in the United States. You know, a man was attacked. They don't say a Jewish man was attacked by a Muslim because he was, you know, he was a Jew. Okay, that gets scrubbed from the story completely. So we see these news stories about a guy gets attacked, a guy gets murdered, this and that and the other thing, but there's no identification with it. So we don't know. We're blind to it.
There is an email making its way around that's titled "Young Man Beheaded, Two Women Executed." Now, this comes from... I'm looking for the name of the name of the website that reported this. I want anyone who gets this email to know, and I'll give a hat tip to Elizabeth for sending this to me. There's a statement in here that really ticks me off. Actually, there's a lot of statements in this particular article that tick me off. But it's talking about a new video that's been leaked from Syria that shows the beheading of a young man and two executions of two women with gunshots to their head. After the killings, the victims were dumped in a hole. This was the Syrian so-called rebels that have been, you know, responsible for many of the massacres throughout Syria, including al-Qaeda associates attached to them. The statement that is in this article, if you guys receive this, it says in here, Israel is so hell-bent on ousting Bashar al-Assad that they completely disregard the fact that these so-called rebels have on a number of occasions burned the U.S. flag and the Israeli flag. Let me explain something right here and now, because whoever wrote this is an ass, okay? Israel is not hell-bent on ousting Bashar al-Assad. That would be the president currently of Syria. If Israel wanted him out, they would have taken him out years ago. And I know this for a fact back when I lived there, and they had the opportunity on multiple occasions to take out Yasser Arafat, and they did not. And there's a reason that Israel leaves certain people in power. It's because they know that the one that will rise behind him is obviously worse, or they would take him out. Israel doesn't screw around. Their intelligence is second to none. They know what they're doing, and at no point has anyone ever from the Israeli government ever been quoted as saying, we need to help bring these rebels into power and get rid of Bashar al-Assad. That is not what Israel is out for. As a matter of fact, Israel is really a little bit frightened, to say the least, of what will happen if these rebels do gain power in Syria. This is causing, like no other Arab Spring has in the past, causing such turmoil in the Middle East. It is not funny. And all people need to do is look at a map of the Middle East and understand the Sunnis and the Shias and the way the map is, and look at Iran, look at Iraq, look at Syria, look at Lebanon, look at the Gaza Strip. Hamas higher-ups just yesterday were complaining out loud to the media that they have not received money from Iran recently because they have decided to back the rebels. They have come out publicly stating that they are backing the Syrian rebels. Well, who is Iran, who used to give Gaza money and funds and weapons and rockets? Who is Iran backing? They're backing the Assad regime. So it's that people need to really understand what is going on in the Middle East right now. And for this writer to make a statement that Israel is so hell-bent on ousting Bashar al-Assad, this guy has no idea, or girl, I don't even know who wrote this. They have no idea what they're talking about. Israel does not want to see Assad go down that way because it will create a situation that will flow over the borders of Syria and into Israel. The last thing Israel wants is for these rebels who are al-Qaeda-linked to be right on the border of the Golan Heights and their country.
Well, it's the old story that, and Israel is very good at it, is that, you know, a known demon is better than an unknown one.
Well, this,
at least you can predict him.
With Arafat. This was the whole story
right, exactly.
With Arafat.
You
they
can
knew
predict
what, Arafat
what he's
was
going to
do. Exactly. They knew exactly what he's going to do before he did it. When Israel wants to take out a person who is high up, they do so. And all you have to do is look back in history to the cell phone call to the head of Hamas a few years ago. And what happened when he answered that phone? Oh, that's right. His head exploded because Israel had inserted enough plastic explosive to kill that individual, and not one innocent bystander, children or otherwise, was affected. They made sure it was him on the phone. They pushed the button and boom, there went the leader of Hamas. When they want to take somebody out, they will. It just pisses me off to get these emails by these so-called experts who don't know their tuchus from a hole in the ground.
Yeah, exactly. And there are so many of them. I mean, you know, it's really getting hard to tell, you know, what the heck is the truth and what isn't the truth anymore, because basically, you can't trust anything unless you follow it down yourself.
Man.
Thanks, Rabbi.
Oh, boy. You know what I haven't heard recently?
Thank you, Scotty.
There you go. Yeah, Reese, actually, that's not a bad idea. We can actually do one break on time here. And when we come back, we've got another half hour.
And break a perfect record?
Break a perfect record.
I know.
Because, I mean, the crap going on just in the last 24 hours. I know I keep saying that. Look at Syria. Look at Iran. Look at Europe. Look specifically. Look at Ireland. Look in your own backyard. Look at what is going on with this country that we used to call the United States of America. Because God knows, over the last 5 years now, the current president that we have has done nothing but divide us. and this should be called the Divided States of America or the Divided People of America. I, for one, am sick and tired of this.
Yeah, like no other president in history has.
No, exactly. And he's accomplished exactly what he set out to do. Reese, do you remember back in the beginning when he took office? I said he wasn't stupid and he was going to manage to do all these things. And look at where he is.
People overestimated or underestimated, or I don't know. I don't think people gave him the credit to be able to do what he said he was going to do. Has he done what he said he was going to? Yes.
It's the old story.
Just because we don't like what he's done doesn't make it, you know, make him incompetent.
No,
that he's accomplished
not
it makes him quite competent.
He's not incompetent. I mean, the fact that there's going to be a school in California named after his wife.
Oh, good gosh.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, Rabbi, when we come back from this break, you sent me a 1.5-page little, I don't want to call it an article, your own idea on who Edward Snowden really is. And I want to get into that with the last half hour that we have left, because I think it really goes to the core of what's going on in this country right now. So you get your notes ready there for that, in case you didn't already have them in front of you, which I'm sure you did. And Reese, you take us into break.
Okay, we're going to do a little twist. We're going to twist it around a little bit, and we're going to go into a little bit of, I don't know, Cole Colburn calls it rockabilly, something like that. So we'll just kind of rock out with a little bit of good dance music and a little fun because, you know, it's been a little bit of a tight night here. So here we go. We have Cole Colburn, Hold On To Me. And you can find his music over on CD Baby under Cole Colburn on his Hold On To Me album.
It's Monday morning, time to get out of bed. My mind still echoes with the words that you said, and I know this time, oh, you wasn't just talking. You're not really the material kind, but life without worry would suit you just fine. If I don't come through, oh, I know you'll be walking. And I know you need to hold on to something, and all I can offer is better than nothing. But I swear I'll make all your dreams come true. Just hold on, baby. Hold on to me. Hold on to me. Baby, you'll see. If you just hold on to me. Let you down many damn times, and it takes a strong woman to keep it inside, and you do it well. That's how I know you love me. If it wasn't for you and our little man, I would have cashed it in before this hell began. But you keep me strong. Yeah, nothing's gonna stop me. And I know you need to hold on to something, and all I can offer is better than nothing. But I swear I'll make all your dreams come true. Just hold on, baby. Hold on to me. Hold on to me. Baby, you'll see. If you just hold on to me. Well, here we go. Mm-hmm.
Hilda, Darth Vader, even President Richard Nixon popped in. So come visit the hottest place for happy hour every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, and show the world that you have an American view.
Everybody, this is Dave Bray of Madison Rising, and you're listening to America at Bar with Scotty Hill.
Thanks, everybody, for hanging on through the break. I just watched, and before the rabbi gets started on his notes here, I just watched the video that was attached to that email of these. And calling them animals is an insult to animals throughout the world. Watching these I don't even know what word I can say on the radio that would be...
Creatures.
I'm at a loss for words. Watching these so-called people... These rebels in Syria behead a man who was alive and then shoot two young women in the back of the head, and who were blindfolded, I might add. And one of them was wearing handcuffs. One of these men, not the people they beheaded or shot, one of the assailants, one of the rebels, was actually either in law enforcement, I don't know what. He had two pairs of handcuffs hanging from his belt. You know, last week or the week before, there was a video that surfaced that showed one of the leaders of the rebels later to be found to be one of the same exact people that met with John McCain when he went to Syria, cutting open the chest of a Syrian soldier that they had captured, ripping out his heart and liver and eating it raw on film, saying this is what's going to happen to the Syrian forces. This is the leader of the rebels, and of course, throughout all the people standing around him were screaming "Allahu Akbar" as he did that. And now we have another video surfacing of these animals beheading an individual who is lying, hold him down, and shooting two women in the back of the head. This is what we are backing. This is what Obama has gone and decided he is going to arm, and possibly now even give air cover to for a no-fly zone. When is America going to learn to stop being the world's police? People, you need to get, if you already done it, I apologize in advance, but we have no one to blame but ourselves for who's in office and what's happening right now. If you haven't done it, you need to get off your ass and start contacting your representatives. We do not need to mix ourselves up with this. This is the same shit we saw in Libya with Gaddafi, and look at what ended up happening there. Need we say that Benghazi hasn't been forgotten? Need we say that 24 hours, less than 24 hours after Muammar Gaddafi, the leader of Libya, was ousted and killed, Al-Qaeda flags were flying high above government buildings in Libya? That's who we backed, we being America. And the same thing is happening in Egypt. I said it long before Hosni Mubarak was even ousted, that the Muslim Brotherhood would take over. We are seeing this location after location after location. This is a bad freaking nightmare, a bad horror movie that I cannot believe is real. And now we're doing it with Syria. Let's put some more freaking countries bordering Israel. Let's put some more animals in power and see what happens. Because this administration is doing nothing but taking us to a third world war. And that is not an exaggeration. That is what is going to come if this continues. This is ridiculous that we are going to sit by and let this happen. Go ahead, Rabbi. I'm sorry.
Okay. No. It needed to be said. And you know, as far as the guy getting his heart and his liver cut out, and what are we hearing out of the mosque? This is perfectly acceptable.
Yeah.
This is acceptable. Very disturbing. Okay. So I got onto this last week when we were talking about Edward Snowden.
Yes, and Rabbi, if I may, I want to kind of give a little byline as to what you're about to read there or talk about.
Sure.
Because you and I spoke about this earlier today, and I said that it would be a good conversation. Then I went back and I reread it. And when I reread it, I then reread it a third time. And then I talked to somebody else that I happened to be with. As you know, I was having lunch with somebody. And we started discussing it, and the more I thought about it, everybody needs to pay attention, like you've never paid attention before. Because, Rabbi, you made some really... I won't even say valid points. They're beyond valid. Some of the things that you pointed out there about this happened, then this came out, then this happened, then this came out. Everybody pay attention to what the rabbi's about to talk about. Because we did talk about this, as you said, Rabbi, just last week, about Snowden. And I even said he worked for Booz Allen Hamilton. He did not have the clearance for classified material the way he's saying he did. None of this makes sense. 29 years old, and by the way, people, just so you know, he was not a high school dropout. That's been making its way around the news. That's actually false. But nonetheless, he was not in a position to do the things he's claiming he did or see the things he's claiming he saw. So with that, everybody pay attention and listen to this thought that the rabbi came up with, this theory, because it's very interesting.
Okay, so... We were in this whole discussion, and Gotti even told me before that, as we said when we were talking about this, that he didn't agree with everything that, you know, that I had in here, and which is fine. It's great. I mean, that's one of the great things, because we don't always agree, and we get to get a chance to actually discuss it and get other people involved in it. Okay, so, but spending many years working in the world of national and international standards, you know, I've sat on numerous committee of experts, and being a certified lead auditor in those standards, I decided to put this knowledge and my auditing skills to the whole question of Edward Snowden. What I did was I used a method that we use in auditing, which is tracking the end item back through the system, a standard audit practice. Since there's very little objective evidence to evaluate, which is, you know, physical evidence that you can look at because everything is classified, of course, I had to base most of these findings on what we would call empirical evidence and a logical progression of events. For clarification, empirical evidence is gained through interviews and observations. Okay, so the first question that most people have been asking is, who is Edward Snowden? I really couldn't care less. This is not the place where I started. Edward Snowden is of little concern at this part of the audit and has actually turned in to be nobody. Okay? The first question I asked was, what are Edward Snowden's claims? Okay, So he claims to have sensitive data on spying on Americans and other countries around the world. However, as Gotti just mentioned, according to former NSA officials, people who have no connection to this and have no reason to lie, Snowden had no clearance or access to such information. We find out today that the people who actually did have access to that information total about 4.5 million people between government and private contractors. 4.5 million people actually had access to the information he's saying he had access to. However, he did not. Okay, so this means he's either full of it or there was a collusion with some higher up that handed over records or at least access to these records. So it turns from a lone whistleblower to a conspiracy. And you people know how much I hate conspiracies. Okay. Now, he is somehow able to avoid detection while gathering the information. Now, let's compare this with other recent spying incidents. In each case, the oversight was sufficient to alert higher-ups that suspicious activity was going on with that person. They were, in turn, kept under surveillance. Each was arrested before being able to flee the country or to go underground. So, either Snowden was a brilliant espionage agent, the likes we have only seen in Alistair MacLean novels, or he was allowed to flee to Hong Kong. Okay, he was so afraid of the NSA that he had to flee. But now, Mr. Snowden has been running off at the mouth about all these nefarious deeds of the NSA without any apprehension. Prior to this, he never did, said, or allude to any of this while furiously posting his prurient photos and exploits. So we know this guy has a narcissistic personality. And a narcissistic personality like this would not pass up the opportunity to in at least veiled terms, refer to what he knew. He is talking to the media around the world. He is even holding online chat sessions. Does this sound like a person who is afraid for his life because he is the man who knew too much? Let's track back a bit further. This story broke at the time the administration was under fire for using the IRS for its own personal hit squad for political adversaries. Just as the whole drone issue cropped up when the administration was under attack for the Benghazi attack. Or just as the gun control and border issue came up when the administration was under attack for the DOJ's Fast and Furious scandal. Ladies and gentlemen, I smell a con. This appears to be a three-card Monty scam being pulled on the U.S. citizens. Mr. Snowden's story seems all too pat. Okay, now let's look at another scenario. There is a dictator who wants to take over a country. What do you have to do? First, you have to get into power by making people think that you are the solution to all their problems. Done. Next, you have to control the media by whatever means necessary. Done. Now you have to restrict long-distance travel. Anybody flown lately? Dealt with the TSA or DHS? Done. Then you have to restrict local travel. Gas prices, you know, these electric cars. Do you know electric cars only have a 40-mile radius? That's 20 miles out, 20 miles back. So that's in process. Next, you have to make people believe their vote doesn't count. As we've seen with the massive election fraud that's been going on, people have the idea their vote doesn't count. Done. Once all this is accomplished, the final event before declaring the dictatorship is to make everyone aware that the government is watching your every move and they can get to you at any time. Institute fear in the people. This effectively stifles just about all dissent. Enter Mr. Snowden. Disinformation spook. The only question left in my mind is CIA, FBI, NSA, DHS, or some other administration entity. And that's
well,
it.
Some other things came out today, which unfortunately I don't have right in front of me, and I wish I did. But it was, let me see if I can find it real quick, because it was an email I got. It was the connections that this guy Snowden has and the people that he's been connected with. And it's interesting because these are the same people that helped put Obama in office. He's got connections with people that have backed him monetarily. He's got connections with Soros. He's got connections with an awful lot of organizations out there and people out there that seem to be on Obama's side. And this, I found, someone emailed to me after I read your little thing there, Rabbi, about who Snowden really is. And it really began to make me wonder. If he is really connected to half of the individuals that this article states he is, it makes more and more what you're saying a possibility that this is nothing more than, like you pointed out, every time there's been a scandal, oops, something pops up. We have the IRS, we have this. We have the gun running, we had the borders. We had Benghazi, we had the drones. And it seems like every time it's that, like you use the term three-card Monty, it's that, you know, the old sleight-of-hand magic trick of pay attention to the left because the right is the one that's going to do something. And that's what the government is doing. And it's really interesting as to the connections that this guy has. Because, it goes beyond interesting. It is quite frightening when you read into this guy's background and who he's friends with and who he's worked with. And they're all, in one way, shape, or form, big-time supporters, big-time money supporters and givers to Obama.
Well,
now,
that's
why
what I was saying.
Someone,
you know, when I started
that closely... Yeah, why would someone that is that closely tied to Obama be involved with this? It just doesn't make any sense unless Obama wants it done.
Well, exactly. That's exactly what the conclusion that I came to was, is that this isn't a whistleblower. The administration wants this information out there because they want the American people to know, we know who you are, we know where you are, we can get to you anytime we want. This is no different than what Obama did with Benjamin Netanyahu on his first visit, when he refused to allow him to fly into Washington on an Israeli plane, and the Israeli security services were not allowed to bring their weapons, and their weapons ended up in LAX. That was a very clear message to Israel. We know how to get to you. This is no different. This is a clear message to the American people. We can get to you whenever we want.
This is the article that I'm referring to. If the NSA or the FBI wants to find fugitive Edward Snowden, who is apparently hiding in Chinese Hong Kong, its analysts and agents might want to examine a controversial nonprofit group, the Freedom of the Press Foundation, and its main financial sponsor, the San Francisco-based Foundation for National Progress. The Freedom of the Press Foundation, which includes Snowden's mouthpiece and handler, Glenn Greenwald, on its board, acknowledges that the organization made possible by the fiscal sponsorship from the Foundation for National Progress. Now, for those that don't know, Glenn Greenwald is the American newspaper reporter that works for The Guardian that broke this story about Snowden. He's on the Freedom of the Press Foundation board. Pardon me. The Foundation for National Progress is best known as being the publisher of the Mother Jones magazine and is backed by several prominent liberal foundations, including the Open Society Institute of billionaire George Soros, according to its own 2010-2011 report.
You might recognize Mother Jones from the one and only Michael Moore.
Yes. Mother Jones journalists accepted an award this year in honor of I.F. Stone, who postured as an independent journalist but was exposed as a Soviet agent. Greenwald had previously received this same award. Snowden is their new hero. And at the heart of Edward Snowden, a decision to expose the NSA, massive phone and internet spying programs, was a fundamental belief in the people's right to know, according to John Cusack, the actor, on the website of the Freedom of Press Foundation. He is also a member of the board. Now, the Freedom of Press Foundation openly funnels money to WikiLeaks and Julian Assange. Okay? And that, the Foundation for National Progress provides users a way to give tax deductible donations. One purpose of this arrangement is to make sure that WikiLeaks has secure funding, as U.S. officials unofficially pressured payment of processors to cut WikiLeaks off from their funding back in 2010, despite the fact that the organization was never charged with a crime. In fact, U.S. officials regarded WikiLeaks as hostile to the United States because it publicly released classified counterterrorist information from Army analyst Bradley Manning, who's now on trial for espionage. Prosecutors say that WikiLeaks material was found in possession of Osama bin Laden and al-Qaeda after the U.S. killed him. Now, this article goes on to the connections of the people that are in these groups that are connected to Edward Snowden, and they all go back to the Obamas, Chicago billionaires, Penny Pritzker. These people are all tied with Edward Snowden and are big-time supporters of Obama. So it's very interesting what we're going to start to see come out in the near future there, Rabbi. We've only got about 1 minute left, so I just want to thank everybody. But thank you for your little tidbit of information there. I think you've converted me from when we spoke, and I agree. It sounds to me like this is nothing more than a three-card Monty due to the IRS scandal, and they're trying to get us to look at something else now.
Exactly. I mean, I just want to keep the conversation going because we need to dig and we need to figure out what's going on here.
Yes, we do. And on that note...
Thanks, Rabbi. Thank you. Got it.
You're welcome and you're welcome. And Reese, say goodnight.
Good night, Reese.
And Rabbi, say goodnight.
Laila Tov.
And with 10 seconds left, actually going to do this on time. Everybody, thank you. We will see you next week. Same time, same America Akbar channel.
Fighting jihad before it was cool. Warning us of terror and Sharia rule. Speaking truth to power on the radio. A lighthouse in the storm to his fellow infidels. America Akbar. Hello, Vincent.